In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I hope it is a good day for you. I was thinking as I was getting ready this morning, it just had not occurred to me that I have just celebrated the 15th anniversary of my retirement. I just couldn't believe it had been that long ago. I'm so pleased to be with you today. This is a great gospel lesson. In fact, all of the lessons are great. But the thing about the gospel lesson that got my attention today were three words in it. Come and see. Come and see. Just preceding what we read this morning in the gospel, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And John's testimony is this: Jesus is God's chosen one. He's God's anointed one. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. One of John's disciples, Andrew, upon hearing this testimony from John, switches his allegiance. He decides to follow Jesus. Andrew asks Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come, come and see." This is about Jesus recruiting disciples. He recruits a man named Philip, who readily accepts the call. And he turns to Nathanael and says, "Come and see." This theme in John's gospel is kind of interesting because a couple of pages after this, Jesus meets, and I know you know this story, of the woman at the well. And that encounter has a huge impact on her. So she has to go back and tell her husband, "Come and see. Come and see." In these stories, we see that those people who did follow the direction of come to see were never the same afterwards. A change took place. And if they thought they were going to go to Jesus' house, they were in for a big surprise. Jesus didn't have a street address. He didn't have a specific house that was his location. His home was with the lonely, the sick, and the dying. His home was with people who didn't have any real purpose to their lives. His home was with people who had chosen paths that led to harm or self-destruction. Furthermore, if we look at these gospels closely, we realize that Jesus' earthly ministry was relatively short. Relatively short. And even though he stayed on the go a lot, the geographical area in which his ministry took place is relatively small. Within those limitations, he lived his life with the scorned, the ridiculed, the vilified, the helpless. Now, over the centuries, Jesus' original call to the disciples has been issued to the church century after century after century, up to this very day, when you and I and the church throughout the world hears this gospel with this message, urgent message, come and see. Come and see. I have been a priest for a very long time. Over the years, people have said to me, you know, I've gone to church, I've attended Bible classes, I've given to the church, I've done this, I've done that, I've done whatever. But mysteriously, there came a nudge. There was a surprise attraction. There was something that really grabbed my attention. To move beyond the comfortable and predictable rut I was in. These calls come in many forms and many ways. They may come in the still of the night, and you hear that in some of the biblical lessons, in the still of the night. They may come in dreams. They may come through friends, neighbors. They may come even through strangers. They may come from something that has startled you and opened your eyes and your heart. Regardless of the form of the call, if you dared to follow up on it, if you dared to take the risk, if you said, I'm going to step out of the comfortable box I'm in and find out what this might mean, maybe you will have discovered that Jesus is already there and waiting for you. We call those conversion experiences. And I believe they happen all along our pathway. Many, many times, or at least that's been true for me, I've steered off the path a lot and have had some kind of epiphany that brings me kind of back to the path from which I had strayed. I love to hear people's conversion stories. I think they're great. I love to hear where Jesus has led them and what that has been like and how that influenced them. Several years ago, I held a class here at Holy Innocents, and it was on contemporary Episcopal women. These are women that I have learned about in the church. And it was very interesting to hear the story of how they came and saw and what they did as a response. One of these women was a besotted, atheistic, brassy New York socialite who, after a night on the town, early one Sunday morning, staggered into a little Episcopal church where they happened to be having their early service. She heard them making the confession, and she thought, I must be in the right place. It sounds like these people are in as bad a shape as I'm in. And then they got up and started going forward, and she said, well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. She'd never been in a church before, so she was following what they did. And then she saw them extending their hands like this. So she extended hers. I'm not going to make a fool of myself here. And the priest came and stood before her and put a wafer in her hand. And she said, she looked at that priest and she looked at that wafer when he said, "The body of Christ." And in that moment, her life changed. After the service, she tracked down the priest and she said, "You've got to show me Jesus. I want an introduction." And she says that God must have led her in that condition into that church, because she said, "That dear man took time to deal with me and all my hang-ups and all my mess-ups to introduce me to Jesus." And the upshot of that was, she said she was not a real young person at the time. She made her confession to God and she said, "God, I have messed up a lot of my life. I got a lot of makeup to do with the time I'm left." And through a gentle, circuitous kind of process, she gained sobriety. And being a woman of great wealth, she established centers in Manhattan where the homeless could gather for a place to sleep and a meal to eat. She also became an Episcopal evangelist and went around to churches, seminaries, and wherever anybody would invite her to tell her story. You see, the invitation to come and see may arrive when we are at our most self-destructive place. The second woman I want to tell you about was abused by the senior warden of her church when she was a teen. Her father, who had been rector of the church, had recently been killed in an automobile accident, and her family was devastated by this death. And so she kept silent about what this man had done to her. In her agony and in her anger, she began to roam the streets of her city. And she noticed in one of the really seedy sections of town, women, poor, wretched women, caught in the web of human trafficking. Feeling a kind of kindred spirit with what they were going through and what she had gone through, in due time, she used her organizational skills that would form a business in which women could live a clean, safe, and in a community home and learn skills and use know how to know those skills that would eventually put them on their feet to sustain themselves beyond this kind of care. That has been a very successful ministry, very successful. The women usually stay in that for 2 years and then they move out on their own. It's still going on. And she's been to this diocese to talk about this. And in this we see that come and see sometimes comes to us when we are in a very painful place. The last woman I want to tell you about, I'm going to have to say her description twice. It's a tongue twister. She is the first Iranian Episcopal female priest. I'm not going to try to say it real fast. She's the first Iranian Episcopal female priest. She has a church in Dallas, Texas, but she's also part of an interdenominational organization there in Dallas that welcomes refugees and helps them as they transition, stays with them until they transition into American society. She got her first assignment and her jaw dropped. She could not believe that fate would have dealt her the hand that she had. This family she was to greet and welcome and help were Iraqi. Iraqis and Iranians have been taught from birth to hate each other. How in the world was she going to be able to extend a cordial welcome? She said when she got to the airport and she saw that family standing there, she didn't see Iraqis. She saw human beings who needed some arms wrapped around them for welcome. And that's what she did. One of the churches where I do Sunday supply work, one of them, it has a couple of times a month, a very informal Eucharist. It's very informal. And usually at these services, instead of a sermon, the priest will introduce a topic kind of from the gospel lesson, and then there's an open mic for anyone who wants to make a response. I had never done this before at this church. And so the lesson I had on this particular Sunday was similar to the one today. It was about conversion. Well, I prepared my little intro that I was going to make there. But that Saturday night, I said to Gail, what am I going to do if they just sit there and look at me and wonder what I'm going to do next? Well, that was a needless worry. There were all kinds of testimonies. Even a person who had walked in off the street that morning got up and made a testimony. Then I became concerned, how do I cut this off? And I wondered, but not for long, because in my head I heard a voice that said, Steve, cool your jets. Steve, these are Episcopalians standing up in church, of all places, giving testimony as to how Christ has impacted their lives. Wow. Everybody got a chance, and the whole congregation was very attentive and responsive and appreciative of what they experienced. Jesus invites us all, come and see. This is with Jesus, the chosen one, the beloved, the Lamb of God. And perhaps your response and my response could be expressed in the fourth stanza, or the last stanza, of one of our hymns that goes like this. It is Christ, in the words of this hymn, speaking to you and me. I mean us speaking to Christ. I'm sorry. Christ, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company, I'll go where your footsteps show. Thus, I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Amen.